Oh, dear. I wonder where he is. Oh, hi. This is Chris. I was just waiting outside Wits End for my friend Phil. He promised to take me bowling. Phil promised he'd be here on time, too. Tell you what, I'm gonna go find out what happened to Phil. But in the meantime, why don't you all get started with today's adventure and odyssey? Where's the phone?
Oh, hi there. I was just working on one of my inventions here. I'm John Avery Whittaker, but you can call me Whit. And this is Odyssey. Hey, let's see if this thing works. Whoa. Hold it! Okay, so it needs a little more work. But that's the exciting part, because you never know what you'll discover along the way. Oh, don't take my word for it, though. You can find out for yourself when you come along on today's Adventures in Odyssey.
Phil, where are you?
Hello?
Hello, Phil. This is Chris.
Who?
Chris!
Sorry, there's no Chris here.
No. This is Chris. You promised you'd take me bowling today, remember?
Chris Bowling! Oh, my goodness, I forgot. I'm sorry. Oh, and after I promised, too. I went to a party last night, and it lasted longer than I thought it would. And you know how things like that go.
Phil!
Phil,
it's okay. Just get over here as soon as you can, okay?
Right. I'm sorry I didn't keep my promise, Chris.
It's all right. Just go.
Right. Bye.
Bye. Oh, sorry you had to hear that. You know, sometimes we make some pretty big promises without really taking time to think them through. Unfortunately, it takes a lot more than good intentions to turn a promise into reality. In fact, that's what we'll discover together on today's adventure. We're going to take a look at Odyssey through the eyes of Connie Kendall and hear what happens when she makes a promise Wit doesn't think she can keep. Sit tight and we'll get started with our adventure in Odyssey right after this. Quiet. Connie's writing a letter to her best friend Marcy, who lives in California. She said we could stay and listen as long as we didn't disturb her. Oh, I think she's getting started. Come on. Let's see if we can get a closer look.
Dear Marcy, I'm sorry it's taken so long for me to write to you. You'd think in a town as small as Odyssey there'd be nothing to do but write letters. That and watch the bread mold. But I've actually been kind of busy lately. What with schoolwork and all, and of course, Mom's been on my case, as usual. She gets really weird sometimes. I guess I can't blame her, though. It's been hard on her since Dad left. When we moved here, I think she thought everything was going to get better. But it didn't. Her problems just moved with her. And I guess when you're sad to begin with, you're going to be sad no matter where you are. Speaking of mothers, how's yours doing? Is she still really into her pets? By the way, tell her we got a dog, too. A beautiful golden Labrador retriever. You know what we call her? Kitty. Isn't that a great name? I mean, you should see the looks on people's faces when I call out, "Here, kitty, kitty, kitty," and this big old dog runs up. It's a riot. I got the idea from my boss. Oh, that's right. I forgot to tell you. I got a job. I'm working at this place called, are you ready for this? Wits End. Yeah, that's what I thought when I first heard it, too. But it almost makes sense if you know the story. See, it's owned by this guy named John Avery Whittaker, but everybody calls him Wit. Get it? Wits End? Like I said, it almost makes sense. The work isn't bad, and I kind of like the people, too, even if they are a little strange. For example, Wit's got this friend named Tom Riley, a real character. He's a retired farmer, he's on the city council, he's a little league coach, he does lots of things. But even though he really gets around, sometimes he has a little trouble keeping up. If you get my drift. Okay, like there was this one...
Say, Whit, got any special plans for tonight?
Well, as a matter of fact, I do have something planned.
Aha! Got some company coming over, huh? Somebody special, maybe?
Well, in a way, it's company. I plan to spend the evening with a cup of hot cocoa and Robert Louis Stevenson.
The writer? He's coming to your house?
No, Tom. He's not actually coming here. He's dead.
Dead? I didn't even know he was sick.
No. He lived in the 1800s.
Oh, yeah, that's about three blocks north from here, ain't
oh,
it?
No, I mean, he's been dead a long time.
Well,
I...
he's not going to be much for conversation, then, is he?
Well, I'm not going to talk to him.
Well, then what you having him over for?
Tom, listen. I was talking about a book, a Robert Louis Stevenson book.
Isn't that kind of rude?
What do you mean?
Well, you're going to spend the whole evening reading. How are you going to pay any attention to your guest?
Oh, Tom.
Oh, I get it. You're going to read out loud. Is that it?
Oh, never mind, Tom.
Tom and Whit have been friends for a long time, which explains why Whit is such a patient man. He's not like anybody else I've ever met, even in L.A. Especially in L.A. John Avery Whitaker. He's an inventor, a businessman, a writer, and kind of an all-around storehouse of information. In fact, are you ready for this? He used to own an encyclopedia company. But don't get me wrong, he's not stuck up or anything like that. And he's also the farthest thing from a bookworm I've ever seen. All the kids in town think he's great. He's always got something interesting or funny to say.
And you know what else? I can prove to you logically that I'm not even here.
Come on, you're here. I can see you.
No, I'm not. You want me to prove it?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I'm not in Cincinnati, am I?
No.
And I'm not in Buffalo, am I?
No.
And I'm definitely not in Detroit. Wouldn't you agree?
I agree.
Okay. If I'm not in Cincinnati, Buffalo, or Detroit, I must be someplace else, right?
Right.
Well, if I'm someplace else, I certainly can't be here now, can I?
Oh.
The kids love that stuff, and I have to admit, I do too. He makes Whit's End a fun place to work. I really do enjoy talking to Whit, though, partly because he knows so many things, but mostly because when you talk to him, he really listens. You know, it's kind of funny. I don't like talking to someone from my mom's generation, much less someone older. But Whit, well, he's different. There's just something about him that makes you want to open up to him. For some reason, you feel good when you're around him. Oh, and he's really into religion, too. Now, I know what you're thinking, but before you jump to any conclusions, he doesn't hang around airports or shave his head or anything like that. He just takes being a Christian very seriously. So when you get into a conversation with him, you can pretty much take for granted that the Bible's going to pop up sooner or later. This past week is a good example. It all started when we were listening to the news on the radio, and I made an innocent little comment. Now I wish I'd kept my mouth shut.
Third day of the hostage crisis. Negotiations with the hijackers broke down after the authorities refused to grant a demand that the Israelis release 14 convicted terrorists held in Tel Aviv.
Can you believe all the stuff that's going on in the world? Why does everything have to be so weird, so violent?
Mankind has been violent ever since we got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, Connie.
Well, we need to do something about it.
I am. I'm going to spend some extra time in prayer.
No, I mean really do something. There's got to be a way to stop this.
Did you have something specific in mind?
No. Well, yeah. I think if we could just get all the people together and get them talking to each other, we'd be able to solve all the differences we have. I mean, after all, everybody's basically good down deep inside. And if all of us good people could just get together and talk, we'd see how much we have in common. And we wouldn't want to fight all the time, right?
Connie, that was a noble and wonderful speech. Unfortunately, it was also one of the most ridiculous things I've ever heard.
What?
Oh, I don't mean to offend you, but you're way off when you say that people are basically good deep down. That's not our nature. For proof, all you have to do is look at any one of these youngsters running around here. Now, I don't have to tell any of them how to misbehave. They already know that, but I sure do have to teach them how to be good.
So what you're saying is that we all start out bad and just stay that way, and we can't do anything to change it? Is that it?
No. We can be changed, but it's going to take a lot more than just wishing to make it so. And if the change you're talking about starts on the outside, you're in for trouble. Because the root of all the problems is on the inside. Inside the soul. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Sure. I just don't agree with it, that's all. I think we can change if we just put our minds to it. I mean, I know it wouldn't be easy, but we just have to make a promise to ourselves that we're going to change and then stick to that promise.
A promise, huh? Well, I'll believe it when I see it.
Well, then you'd better start believing, because you're going to see it right now.
But what are you doing?
I'm writing down a promise. I hereby promise to treat everyone I meet with kindness, gentleness, and patience from now on. Signed, Connie Kendall.
Oh, now, wait just a minute.
You're not having second thoughts, are you?
No, I just think you should. That's an awfully big promise you just made there.
I think I can handle it.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't we cut it down a little bit and make it easier on you? How about if you only do one of those things, say, be more patient, and make it for a set amount of time, say about, 4 weeks, huh?
That's okay with me. Now, wait a minute. You're not going to do stuff to make me mad, are you? I mean, that wouldn't be fair.
Already qualifying it, huh? You're only going to be patient with people as long as they're fair to you. Is that it? But to answer your question, no, I'm not going to do anything to make you mad. In fact, I'm not even going to tell anyone else about this. It'll be just between you and me.
You don't think I'll last the whole 4 weeks, do you?
Connie, I don't think you'll last 1 week.
You'll see. Just call me Patience.
Can I get a vanilla shake to go?
I'll be with you in a minute, okay? I mean, sure, I'll make that for you right away.
Nice going, Patience.
Will Connie be able to keep her promise? Find out when we return to today's Adventure in Odyssey, right after this.
Okay, so where was I? Oh yeah, the promise. Well, for the first couple of days, everything went great. I stuck to my promise and was patient with everybody that came along. And you know what? It felt really good. I noticed people were a lot nicer, too. They'd come up to me and compliment me on how calm I was. I thought the rest of the 4 weeks would be a breeze. But Whit would look at me and smile and say, "It's just a matter of time." Boy, was he right. On the afternoon of the fourth day, everything went kablooey. And the funny thing is, it was all over nothing. I was standing in the inventor's corner. That's this place in Wit's End where the kids can make their own inventions. Listening to Whit read some riddles to the kids.
Okay, here's a really old one. In fact, my grandmother used to read it to me when I was a boy.
They had writing back then?
Very funny, Lisa. Well, here goes. As I was going to St. Ives, I met a man with seven wives. The seven wives had seven sacks. The seven sacks had seven cats. The seven cats had seven kits. Kits, cats, sacks, and wives. How many were going to St. Ives?
Now, wait a minute. There were seven wives, right?
Right.
So all we have to do is figure out how many cats and kittens each wife was carrying and multiply it by seven.
Okay, let's see. Each wife had seven sacks, and each sack had seven cats. So we multiply the number of sacks, which is seven, times the number of cats in each sack, which is also seven. That's 49. Each wife had 49 cats.
Right, but each cat had seven kittens. So now you have to multiply 49 times 7. That's, 343. Each wife had 343 kittens.
We also have to add the cats and the kittens together. So that's 343 plus 49. That equals, 392. Each wife had 392 cats and kittens.
Great. Now all we have to do is multiply that number by 7. Let's see. 392 times 7 is... 2,744. That's how many cats and kittens there were.
Oh, we still gotta add the seven wives and the man to that number. 2,744 plus 8 equals 2,752. 2,752 were going to St. Ives. Is that it, Mr. Whitaker?
Sorry, that's the wrong answer.
Wait a minute, our math was right.
Your math was perfect. The problem is your hearing. Now, listen to the first part of the riddle. As I was going to St. Ives, the right answer is one. Only one person was going to St. Ives.
Oh. Give us another one.
I'll tell you what. How about if Connie reads the next one? Here, Connie.
Well, all right. Let's see. Oh, this is an easy one.
You should all be able to get this. There's an electric train traveling east down the track at about 40 miles per hour. Now the wind is blowing from the west at 50 miles per hour. If the train is traveling at 40 miles per hour and the wind is traveling at 50 miles per hour, which direction is the train's smoke blowing?
Now wait, if the wind is blowing from the west and the train is traveling east, that means the wind and the train are traveling in the same direction.
Then the smoke is blowing east, right?
Nope.
Then it has to be blowing west.
No, that's not right either. Come on, you guys. Anybody can figure this one out. It's so simple.
Simple for you, maybe. You've got the book.
Look, I'll even give you a hint. The answer has nothing to do with math. Come on, all you gotta do is think about what I said. Just think. What's the matter with you guys? You're not concentrating. I don't believe this. It's an electric train. Electric trains don't have any smoke.
Connie.
It's unreal. You have this enormous electric train upstairs. You all spend hours up there playing with it. The answer was right under your nose the whole time. I can't believe you guys are so dense. Oh, brother.
Connie. Are you all right?
I will be as soon as I finish scraping all this egg off my face. Looks like you were right. Again. How did you know? Wait, don't tell me. Let me guess. It's in the Bible, right?
Well, you may not like this, but yes, it is. You see, Connie, you believe that deep down everybody is good. And if we all just somehow tap into that inner goodness, we can make the world a whole lot nicer. Well, I'm sorry, but that's just not the case. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's why I just kind of shake my head and laugh when someone tells me that they've made a promise to be a better person. That's like treating the symptoms and ignoring the disease.
But you can't just sit back and do nothing. I mean, doesn't the Bible say the Lord helps those who help themselves?
No, it doesn't. Besides, I'm not talking about doing nothing. I'm just saying that the cause of the problems runs a lot deeper than a simple promise can reach, no matter how good your intentions are.
So I was right when I said it was hopeless.
No, there's hope, lots of it. You're just looking in the wrong place. You gotta look deep down on the inside, way down into your soul. That's where the changing has to start. That's why the Bible says, don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What that means is we have to let God renew our mind. He's got to change us on the inside before results start showing on the outside.
I get the point. I guess it is pretty dumb to make promises about things you can't control, like your feelings.
Yeah, it is. And you know what?
What?
That's in the Bible, too.
It figures.
Well, now, how about we go back out there and tend to our guests?
You know, Marcy, when I came to Odyssey, I couldn't wait to leave. I had my bus ticket and all my stuff was packed. But I don't know. I guess they got me curious. There's something different about these people. I haven't got it all figured out yet, but I'm kind of getting to like it. Can you believe that? Not that I agree with all the stuff they're into, but they mean well. And I really think they care about me. That's a good feeling. So I guess I'll stay on here, for a while anyway. Well, I'm just about out of paper, so I guess I'll close for now. I really miss you, Marcy. Write me when you can, okay? Love, Connie.
Well, maybe Connie will like us and stick around for a while. Of course, I can't really make any promises.
Chris, I'm here. Are you ready?
Only for the past half hour, Phil.
Great. I'm really sorry I'm late. And after I promise,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's okay. Adventures in Odyssey is a production of Focus on the Family. Today's episode was written and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer is Bob Luttrell, and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris. Join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.